Welcome to the hardest hitting hour in combat sports coverage, bar none.
I am the greatest!
From the slickest submissions and crushing KOs of mixed martial arts. To the heart and soul of the sweet science of boxing.
8, 9, can he make it? It's over!
Followed by the showmanship and athleticism of professional wrestling. Is the voice of champions. This is Fight Network Radio on Hardcore Sports Radio. Here's your host, Moro Ronaldo.
Yo, 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 and away we go. It is a Monday, and we are going to be turning it into a fun day on the heels of another action-packed weekend in combat sports. We are so blessed to have in studio with us the one, the only, the inimitable Ariel Helwani. You remember him from Jerry Park website. You remember him from MMA Rated. Some of you may even remember him from the food table at all those press conferences. I don't know why. He always wanted to just hang by the catering table. But he's looking dashing. He's looking like a freshly scrubbed married man, and he has found his way to the studios of Fight Network Radio and Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 98. We're going to be talking with Ariel about all things combat sports. He's one of those guys that I like because you can talk to him about mixed martial arts, you can talk to him about pro wrestling, you can talk to him about boxing. So we will definitely cover all of the landscape with Ariel Helwani. He will be with us throughout the hour. Of course, Final Countdown coming up later in the show. You have your voice heard at 1-888-9-HARDCORE, 1-888-942-7326. No time for the headlines, lots of news to get to, so hit it!
It's time for today's Knockout News.
Well, Sunday night at the Bojangles Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina, TNA presented Genesis Live on pay-per-view featuring the return of the hardcore legend, a tremendous grudge match, and an awesome X-Division title match. Unfortunately, a mix of real-life and storyline health issues wreaked havoc with the rest of the card. The six-man tag team match featuring Mick Foley's TNA wrestling debut was put in the main event spot as he, brother D-Von, and AJ Styles beat Legends champ Booker T. Scott Steiner and Kip James, who filled in for Kevin Nash. Yep, that's right, Kip James. Nash was suffering from a legitimate staph infection in his elbow and was taken to hospital. After all six performers were counted out, Foley, as executive shareholder, restarted the bout, making it a hardcore rules match. He ended up getting the pinfall on Steiner. In the TNA World Heavyweight Championship match, Sting successfully defended against a bloodied and battered Rhino, who, according to storyline, had been attacked earlier in the day by members of the Main Event Mafia and was able to make it to the arena just before the bout. Sting used the Scorpion Death Drop to score the victory. For some reason, the crowd in Charlotte really didn't catch on to this one. In what was by far the match of the night, Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle pulled out all the stops in an all-out brawl held under no disqualification rules. Both guys bled, and Jarrett did an incredible job of selling throughout the contest, which ended with Angle recording the 1-2-3. They did an injury angle with Jarrett as he was taken from the ring on a stretcher. Jay Lethal and Consequences Creed's reign as tag team champions was short-lived as Beer Money regained the straps in a three-way dance that also featured the tandem of Matt Morgan and Abyss. The finish came when Abyss went for a belt shot on Robert Roode, who ducked, causing Abyss to knock out his partner Morgan. Lethal then gave Roode the Macho Man elbow off the top rope, with referee Rudy Charles distracted by Jacqueline Moore. Storm super kicked Lethal and put Roode on Morgan as Charles turned around and counted the fall. In the tournament final to crown a new X Division champion, Chris Sabin squared off with Alex Shelley in the Battle of Motor City Machine Guns. It was a technically outstanding matchup featuring a plethora of near falls. Finish saw Shelley pretending to have an ankle injury. Sabin, of course, went to check on him. Shelley used a schoolboy for the pin, beginning his first X Division title reign. The TNA Knockouts title match was canceled because both champion Awesome Kong and challenger Christy Hemme were injured. Kong reportedly has a back injury, while Hemme has issues with her neck. In its place, TNA booked a six-women tag match, putting ODB, Roxy, and Taylor Wilde against Raka Khan, Raisha Saeed, and Sojourner Bolt, collectively known as the Kongtourage. ODB pinched Saeed with a small package in an awful match. Win gives ODB a future title shot at Kong. Former TNA referee Shane Sewell picked up a win in his TNA in-ring debut as he pinned Sheik Abdul-Bashir following a sunset flip. Sewell, by the way, is a native of Ontario. He performed for years in Puerto Rico under the moniker Glamour Boy Shane. A six-man elimination match opened the show with Eric Young, Homicide, and Hernandez taking on Sanjay Dutt, Jimmy Rave, and Kiyoshi. The match was your typical spot fest with a lot of missed moves in the early going. It ended up being Hernandez against against all three of his opponents. Super Mex was put over strong as he pinned Kiyoshi with a border toss, Dutt following a powerbomb, and finally Rave following a splash off the top rope. Thursday's edition of Impact on Spike TV will feature Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles with Mick Foley as referee, and Jay Lethal in Consequences Creed takes on Matt Morgan in Abyss, with the winners becoming top contenders for the tag straps. WWE Raw tonight broadcast from Sioux City, Iowa. Matches include world champion John Cena against Shawn Michaels with JBL in Michaels Corner. By the way, Cena's finishing move, the FU, that's been renamed the Throwback. WWE Intercontinental Champion William Regal takes on CM Punk. The title can change hands on a DQ. Kane versus Randy Orton. The build to Vince McMahon's return in Chicago next week will also continue tonight on Raw. Batista's official website noted he's about 6 weeks before he can begin working his legs out following the surgery to his hamstring tear. There were people cut from every department by World Wrestling Entertainment Friday, with the website particularly gutted, and a lot of surprises with higher paid people being let go, as well as those who have been with the company 10 years or more. As it was mentioned on Friday on this very program, they were calling it the Titan Tower Massacre. The list includes D'Lo Brown, Bam Neely, Gavin Spears, Mike Krul, Val Venus, referee Jimmy Corderas, who's been with the company since 1987, agent Tim White, Kevin Thorne, all released on Friday. Now, on Friday Night SmackDown, the woman who played the role of Jeff Hardy's fiancée, Beth, was in fact a thespian, and not his actual fiancée, who, by the way, is named Beth. No word if she's an actress or not. Mickey Rourke won the Golden Globe last night for Best Actor in a Dramatic Film on Sunday for his role as a faded wrestler in the movie The Wrestler. Definite must see if you haven't already done so. Affliction featherweight fighter Mark Hominick has been forced to pull out of his upcoming fight with Elsie Davis January 24th in Anaheim due to illness. According to Hominick's trainer Sean Tompkins, he is suffering from bronchitis. The promotion is looking for a suitable replacement to face Davis. Again, that's a Day of Reckoning, January 24th in Anaheim. MMA Junkies reporting that MMA bad boy Gilbert Ivel has been cleared by the California State Athletic Commission to face Josh Barnett net in a heavyweight battle, a Day of Reckoning. SportsIllustrated.com reported that UFC Hall of Famer Randy Couture underwent successful surgery to remove two abnormally large bone spurs from his elbow last Thursday. The operation forced him to decline a matchup against Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira in the first half of this year to allow the elbow to fully heal. According to MMA Junkie, a light heavyweight battle between Matt Hamill and Mark Munoz has been signed for UFC 96 March 7th at the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. Tough 3 alum Hamill's coming off a dominant victory against IFL veteran Reese Andy at UFC 92 last month, while undefeated WEC veteran and NCAA Division I wrestling champion Munoz will be making his octagon debut. 5 Ounces of Pain is reporting that Tough 8 light heavyweight winner Ryan Bader will put his perfect 8-0 record on the line when he takes on the 10-2 Carmelo Moreto at UFC Fight Night 18 in Nashville, Tennessee, April 1st. The Arizona State wrestling standout displayed some decent punching power when he took out BJJ black belt Vinny Magalesh to capture the reality show prize. Moreto began his career in the Ultimate Fighting Championship as a heavyweight. He beat Czech Congo via unanimous decision at UFC 64. He's dropped his last two fights in the octagon, including his light heavyweight debut against Wilson Gouveia at UFC 71. Unbeaten middleweight prospect Aaron Simpson also scheduled to make his UFC debut April 1st against Tim McKenzie. Simpson is coming off an 18-second knockout of David Avalan at WEC 36, while McKenzie beat Jeremy Lang at WEC 34. According to a post on his official website, former UFC welterweight kingpin Matt Hughes will finally face bitter rival Matt Serra May 23rd. Now, the two served as coaches on Season 6 of The Ultimate Fighter. A back injury suffered by Serra while training forced him to pull out of their scheduled bout at UFC 79 in December of 2007. MMA Weekly is reporting that WEC welterweight champion Carlos Condit will defend the title against Brock Larson for a second time at WEC 39 coming up March 1st in Corpus Christi, Texas. Condit won their first meeting via armbar at WEC 29 in August 2007. Larson has won 3 straight to earn another shot at the belt. In a My San Antonio report, UFC VP of Government and Regulatory Affairs Mark Ratner said the MMA organization would like to hold an event at either the AT&T Center or the Freeman Coliseum in San Antonio between September and December of this year. Former WWE performer Bobby Lashley's second pro MMA bout will take place in the California-based Palace Fighting Championship promotion Friday, February 6th against the 4-1 Mike Hayes. Sunday in Amsterdam, the Russian Red Devil squad trounced Team Holland 4-1 to win the inaugural M1 Championship. Challenge Championship. M1 Global will begin M1 Challenge's second season February 21st in Seattle, expanding from 10 to 16 squads. The state of Tennessee is going to sanction its first professional MMA event Friday, February 20th, when the Florida-based XFC presents a card at the Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville. A couple of undefeated heavyweight prospects will collide in the main event as the 4-0 Chad Corbin meets the 6-0 Scott Barrett. The upstart Bellator Fighting Championship has signed former Cuban Olympian and Pride veteran Hector Lombard to compete in its middleweight division. Bellator's tournament-style events will premiere on the ESPN Spanish-language network Deportes April 4th and run for 12 weeks every Saturday night. The vacant ROF 135-pound belt was up for grabs in the feature attraction of Saturday's Ring of Fire show held in Denver. Ultimate Fighter alum Noah Thomas faced late replacement Justin Robbins, a product of former UFC welterweight champion Matt Hughes' hit squad. Thomas wasted little time in garnering the title via guillotine choke at just 129 of the opening round. All right, time to focus on boxing. A not-so-wise man once said somebody's O had to go in the main event at Bordeland Hall. On Saturday night in Germany, WBO super middleweight champ Dennis Inkin collided with stablemate and number one contender Carly Balje. The two were supposed to meet for the WBO interim title last September in Hamburg, but a cut incurred by Balje during the training camp will put the kibosh on that meeting. So what happened Saturday? Well, Balje defeats Inkin to become the new champion on scores of 115-113, 116-112, 116-112. All right, another fight was supposed to take place, a title fight, that is, Saturday night on the same card. But one of my pet peeves in combat sports is when a fighter, be it in MMA or boxing, doesn't make weight. We saw it happen far too often last year, already happening again this year, as Yuri Barashian came in 1.8 pounds over the 175-pound light heavyweight limit at Friday's official weigh-in for his WBO title shot against unbeaten champion Joel Dirde. After being given 2 hours to lose the excess baggage, he was still 1.22 pounds over, so the belt was a non-title affair. The Firebird remained perfect. He beat his southpaw opponent on the scorecards, 116-111, 117-110, 116-111. WBO IBF lightweight champion Nate Campbell, he's elected to vacate the WBA lightweight title, doesn't want to pay the sanctioning fees if he's not going to be able to defend it this year. One of South Africa's most talented fighters, Ludumo Galata, the WBF featherweight champion, was killed in a motor accident near East London on Saturday. He was only 26. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And in the main event of ESPN's Friday Night Fights, the first event of 2009, unbeaten 2004 Cuban Olympic gold medalist Euryorkis Gamboa stopped Roger Gonzalez via 10th-round TKO in featherweight action, while his undefeated compatriot Odlanier Solis made his debut, a winning one in the United States as he disposed of Kevin Burnett via 8th-round technical knockout in the heavyweight co-feature. Don't forget, for all your combat sports news 24-7, make sure you log on to thefightnetwork.com.
Don't know much about history.
Smokin' Joe Frazier turned 65 years old today. The former world champion was the first boxer to win a gold medal in the Olympics, which he did in 1966 at the Tokyo Games, and win a professional world championship, which came in 1968. Frazier's most legendary fights were his epic trilogy with Muhammad Ali, in which Ali was victorious in two of their three encounters.
This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
Yes, here it is, the 12th day of January 2009. It is the Insider Report as we begin another work week, and we are blessed to have in our presence in studio, not via the phone line where we usually talk to our friend Ariel Helwani, but he is here in the center of the universe, the big smoke, T-Dot Hogtown, Toronto. And by the way, he is a Canadian. We lost him to the United States of America due to job opportunities and whatnot, but Ariel Helwani joins me right now. Ariel, how are you?
I'm good.
How goes it? Yes, that's
yes.
This gentleman who has worked for, you know, ESPN Classic, HBO, Spike TV, he's looking at me like, do I push this button right here?
I just wanted to make sure, Mauro. First off, it's an honor to be here. Thank you very much for having me. As I was sitting there watching you read that news,
yes,
like only you can, I was reminded of a famous scene from a documentary, Beyond the Mat. You know that documentary?
Beautiful documentary. What scene?
Paul Heyman is addressing the troops before the first ever ECW pay-per-view, and he says, "Welcome to the dance. This may not look like it, but this is the dance, and that's all I could think about. I have finally made it to the dance.
I will take that as a compliment, sir. And you made it to the dance a long time ago. In fact, you can maybe teach me a few steps or two. Let's get caught up right away, because obviously you were doing some great stuff online, especially with your first website, Jerry Park, where you covered, just like the Fight Network, you were covering boxing, wrestling, MMA, and then you moved on to bigger and better things with the website MMArated.com, and you were doing a tremendous job in breaking a lot of news and getting videos, interviews. A victim of the economic crisis, I take it.
Yes, absolutely. It was a great opportunity, and I thank the people that gave me that opportunity, the Wasserman Media Group, which own the website MMArated.com. And in November, out of the blue, didn't expect it. There were no warning signs. They own a lot of websites. They run a lot of like action sports, X Game style websites, and they couldn't run them anymore. They were definitely suffering due to the economic times. And what they tell me is that, you know, the hardest one to cut from the list was MMA Rated. It was, you know, the hardest one to let go, whatever that means. All I know is that I was left out of a job. But thankfully, the MMA community in particular was so nice to me afterwards. It's kind of like one of those things, you know, once you leave the scene, then you realize that people appreciated you. So that really warmed my heart.
And I agree. You know, it's funny because the media, and you've been around the media a long time now too, thanks to the internet and whatnot, the whole ball. The field has changed so much. I mean, yes, we're still wanting to get the scoop. We want to be first, but more importantly, we want to be right. But what I've noticed with mixed martial arts or combat sports, and especially doing the show, is the amount of incredible relationships that I've been able to forge on a professional basis with people like you, Sam Kaplan, the folks at SureDog MMA. Like, we're all, I guess, trying to do our own little thing, but at the same time, I like it when it all comes together as one, and we're there for the sport, and we're there for the proper stories. And to be honest with you, I'm blessed every day working with John Pollock and the crew that we get to do what we do and bring people like you in, and all the experts and all the big names. So, again, you know, you do a great job. And as the old cliche goes, my friend, and I know that's redundant in itself, because old and cliche is a double, you know, right. It's either a cliche or it's old.
Absolutely.
But the one door closes. The other one opens, and obviously you've already managed to kind of land on your feet, because I hear you're working on a little promo show that may or may not see the light of day. Would you like to expound?
Yeah, it's certainly not a promo show. It's bigger than that. It's called UFC Primetime, and it premieres this Wednesday night on Spike TV at 10 p.m., and I am absolutely blessed and honored to have the opportunity. As you said, one door closes, a window opens. That definitely applies to me, getting to work with the team that is producing that show for Spike TV, getting to work with people from the UFC as well as the production team over in New York City. It's been an unbelievable learning experience, and I will say right now, I will go out on a limb and say that UFC 94 will break the UFC 66 pay-per-view record. It's going to be the biggest fight ever. It's going to be the biggest event ever because of this show. The first episode, if that's any indication as to what we're going to see for the next 3 weeks, it's going to blow people's mind away. It's a really great show, and you know, all the props go to everyone in New York working very hard on it.
Of course, we're talking about the rematch, and really one of the biggest rematches in MMA history, a super fight between UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre and UFC lightweight champion BJ Penn in their first meeting in 2006. A little controversial split decision win for GSP, although if you looked at the two fighters after the fight, he didn't really look like the victor, but they're both so different now. And I know, you know, you've signed the agreement, and we don't, and plus I don't want to be, I want to see for myself, like 24/7. But in terms of what you've already been exposed to and whatnot, why is this going to be such a must-see program?
Several reasons. First off, you just look at it on the surface. One guy's training in a blizzard in a snowstorm in Montreal. The other guy's in Hilo, Hawaii. Beautiful weather. So right then and there, you have this contrast. Then you have a contrast in personalities, right? I mean, you have this fiery, almost volcanic Hawaiian guy, calm, cool, and collected George St. Pierre. It's like the Terminator over there. So right there, it's almost like their personalities are very they're very indicative of where they train and where they live. And then what's happening is these other personalities are developing. On George St. Pierre's side, you got Firas Zahabi, a guy who doesn't get a lot of props for what he does with George St. Pierre, his head trainer. Unbelievable stuff. Then on the BJ side of things, you got JD Penn, a guy that you know very a lot about. He's helping him out. Jason Perillo, his boxing coach. Rudy Valentino, head trainer. All these other personalities that we haven't really had a chance to see in the MMA world. You know, with those countdown shows, it's very formulaic, right? It's you know, Dana talking, Joe Rogan talking. They go to they hype the fight, then they go back to the history, blah blah blah. This is totally different. Not a lot of archival footage. It's all happening in the moment. We're following them as we speak. Footage is coming in every day, and it's really going to revolutionize the way we sell fights in MMA.
So this is a three-part series, I understand. It begins this Wednesday on Spike TV and the following Wednesday and the one after leading into the event?
Yeah, January 14th, 21st, and 28th, all 10 p.m. There's going to be replays, you know,
Obviously, all the time.
But, yeah, those are the premiere dates. It's going to be awesome. I am so excited for people to actually finally see this show. It's great, and we're so blessed as fans that it's those two guys that are kicking it off.
Yeah, and it marks, like you say, it marks another landmark moment for mixed martial arts, and I caught Dana White, the UFC president's a video blog for the upcoming event in Ireland, and he mentioned the primetime show, and you know what? He said it best in the studio they're talking. It's not for us. It's for those looky-loos, those casual fans, maybe flicking. I mean, and what, like you say, what two better representatives of the sport would you want to introduce to a whole brand new audience than a guy like George St. Pierre, who's got, you know, movie star looks and the charisma oozing out of every one of his pores, and then BJ Penn, who really is that prototypical mixed martial artist. I mean, the badass from Hawaii who is finally really focused on the task at hand. I mean, this guy has more talent in, you know, the proverbial thumbnail than the rest of us, but hey, he's given up the partying, and he's really focused now on the fact that God gave him all these skills, and he wants to be the best that he can be. And they both say, you know, yeah, the titles, the welterweight titles at stake, but George St. Pierre's gone on record saying, no, I want to be a legend, and this is the first step.
And there's two things that make this show so great that the other 24/7s might have been lacking, especially the last few. First of all, no one knows who's going to win. You know, Pacquiao De La Hoya, fine, Pacquiao won. But going in, everyone thought it was a mismatch. Everyone thought Mayweather was going to be Hatton, Calzaghe was going to be Jones, etc., etc. This is, you know, 50-50, essentially. And they really don't like each other. There is a lot of, I don't know.
So, okay, there you go. And that's interesting that you say that. You truly believe there is enmity then? I mean, and again, not giving away anything that you've already seen, but have you... You're saying this because of stuff that you know now?
I'm not breaking news here. I mean, forget about the stuff that I've seen. These guys don't like each other. I mean, BJ Penn, we've seen how many times he's asked for the fight.
But you don't think that's a little bit more marketing than personal?
We'll talk in a couple of days, and you tell me whether or not BJ likes George St. Pierre.
I like that little tease.
These guys do not like each other, and as fight fans, you don't want anything more than that. You want guys who hate each other. Enough of this respect. Screw that. We want to see guys who hate each other and then ultimately fight.
Perfect way to end a segment. Definitely whetting your appetite for what is going to be UFC Prime Time, the three-part series promoting the first super fight of 2009. A rematch coming up at UFC 94, January 31st in Las Vegas. UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre defending his title against UFC lightweight champion BJ Penn. We're going to ask Ariel Helwani to stick around, because when we come back, we're actually going to be joined in studio by the guy that we usually keep on the other side of the window. And believe me, Ariel, when he comes in here, you'll realize why we do that. But the prodigy John Pollock will join us for the final countdown. Don't forget, you can have your voice heard if you want to talk to our good friend here, Ariel Helwani, talk about pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, what have you. 1-888-9-HARDCORE, 1-888-942-7326. This is Fight Network Radio, Sirius 98, Hardcore Sports Radio.
Time for some